From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast.
Everything you need to avoid a nervous time this Halloween. Slash your budget with our bargains. Chill with our long-term tips. And see more killer returns than the Halloween series with our captain's picks. It's all in the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello, FBL manager. Well, there's nothing more frightening, is there, than a missed deadline. And a bunch of managers were caught out last Friday by the deadline for game week 6. We've got another Friday deadline coming up this week, so bear that one in mind. Partly for that reason, we're going to be going a little bit earlier with the official FPL podcast from this week. We're now dropping Wednesday afternoons. That's terrific news. We're joined for today's show by Julien Laurence. Hello, Julien.
Hi, James. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Julien, of course, football writer and broadcaster for ESPN, with an eclectic taste in players. Also with us, author and football columnist for The Eye, Daniel Storey. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, James.
Currently my arch rival in our mini league and wildcarding this week, Daniel.
Yes, I mean, yeah, out of pure desperation and frustration than any sort of master plan, if I'm honest.
Right. And from the FPL family and from the Church of Harry Kane, Sam Bonfield. Hey, Sam.
Hiya, James.
Church Harry Kane came through for you, just about.
Oh, tell me about it. I, having had nothing more than a Bruno Fernandes clean sheet point right up until Monday night's game with Kane and Son, they absolutely saved my bacon and saved my FPL game week for sure.
Game week 6, I think, was a puzzler for lots of managers. Very low averages. You had Salah blanking, Fernandes, Rashford blanking, KDB as well, Sterling not returning, Aguero blanking, and also disappearing from the picture, picking up an injury. We'll talk a little bit about what that might mean for City in the game weeks to come. In the meantime, big returns for anyone who was on Leeds and Bamford. Anyone have Bamford?
I did, and I thought hard about, do I keep him, do I sell him? And I sold him at 6:29, literally a minute before the end of the transfer window. And then watching the game on Friday, I literally wanted to jump through the window of my house.
Wow. I appreciate all of your fake sympathy, but I was just laughing for that 5 seconds.
So. Oh man. And I swapped him for Ollie Watkins of all people as well, thinking, do you know what? Yeah, I've got a good feeling about that one.
Right.
No, not at all. And then I put obviously Luke Hayling on the bench as well, thinking that Ollie Watkins would score a hat trick against him. So yeah, my Friday night wasn't good.
I'm so sorry, Jules. But hey, you never know, those choices may pay off in the long term. Because, I mean, just to come for you, I bought Bamford during the course of that game. So thrilled was I and so fearful of a price rise. So he's almost certainly going to miss the next 3 or 4 games. So we'll see. My game week was actually rescued by Zaha, which is a mixed blessing because it means I feel like I need to stick with him now. He's actually the second most transferred in player this week. Palace do have great fixtures, as we'll be hearing a little bit later on, and he has got 5 goals and 1 assist so far, but all the same I just feel like he's going to disappoint me again. Is it different this time with Wilfried Zaha?
I think it is different because he's playing effectively as in a front two with either Michy Batshuayi or Jordan Ayew. He's having more shots. He's not creating fewer chances than he was last season, but he just seems to be getting in between the posts more than he was last season. So, yeah, I think, you know, I am probably going to bring him in when I wildcard.
Really?
Mm.
Okay. To give you an idea, by the way, listener, of how badly everyone did, I actually got the most points of any of us this last game week with the 52.
Anything can happen in this game.
Yeah,
anything.
With my hasty signings FC. Julien with Murder on Zidane's Floor, one of the about a billion Murder on Zidane's Floors out there, Jules, 47 points. Sam Bonfield, best in all the world. Nice, 39 points. And Daniel Storey's Lego Wanderers, 38 points. Daniel, you probably explained that name before. What's it about, though?
It's a reference to it was the only word in a very long name I was given on Twitter by someone who wasn't a fan of one of my articles.
I see. Okay. Mm. And you wear it with pride. Excellent. Both Sam and Jules rescued, as Sam was mentioning, by the Kane Son partnership in that late Monday game. Those two, Kane and Son, are the most transferred in players. Mm. Are they absolute must-haves now?
They are for me. I think they've now got 29 career Premier League goal combinations together, only bettered now by Lampard and Drogba. And 9 of those have come already this season. So they are in fine fettle.
Right. Dan, are you having them both in your wild card?
Yeah, this feels perfect for me. It feels like everyone else on this podcast is going to pick my wildcard team, which is nice. So that's Zaha, Kane and Son. I do already have Kane, it should be said. And when I wildcard, I'm always tempted to change too much, you know, change 12 or 13 players rather than 8 or 9. Mm. And I think Kane is one that will definitely stay.
Okay. Jules, have you got Kane and Son?
Yeah, I've got them both. I captained Kane. I was tempted to change for Son, but I kept Kane in, so it's a bit less point than if I had Captain Son. And as Sam said, they've got Brighton and West Brom coming before the big game against Man City. So at least for those two games coming, it's a no-brainer, I think, for anyone, if you can, to have them both in your team.
Okay, we'll be talking about our captain's picks, biggest choice, of course, of the week later on in this podcast. The league code, if you'd like to join our mini-league, is SMX. YTY. Game week 7 is going to be brilliant for everyone. Let's have a look at how with the fixtures next. Game week 7. Did I mention it's a Friday deadline? Yes, 6:30 on Friday night UK time, 90 minutes before Wolves take on Palace, is the time to get your teams in by. Or not, because, you know, sometimes it's better when you actually forget and, you know, the choices you didn't make come through for you. That's the Friday night game. Saturday, we got Sheffield United against Man City, Burnley, Chelsea, Liverpool, West Ham, Sunday, Villa, Saints, Newcastle, Everton, Man United, Arsenal, and Spurs, Brighton. And then on Monday, Fulham, West Brom is once again the 5:30. I feel like they had that last week, but anyway, it's happening this week as well. Fulham, West Brom, and Leeds, Leicester. What do you want to pick out from those? Where are you looking to reap your points this week, Sam?
Well, there's lots of kind of big games in there, Man United and Arsenal, Liverpool and West Ham. And yeah, I've decided to go with Fulham and West Brom. Right. Maybe not on paper the most exciting match, but I think for me, one of the most interesting. There's been a massive shift in West Brom in the last couple of game weeks. Significant defensive improvements from them in the last 2 weeks. Kind of ties in with Ivanovic's arrival at the club and his debut. Although he was responsible for the goal that they conceded in game week 6, he has massively stabilised that defence. So we saw between game weeks 1 and 4 that West Brom conceded 13 goals. It's an average of 3.25 per game. Since then, in game weeks 5 and 6, they've conceded just one goal, averaging obviously 0.5 per game. So massive, massive change for them, both in terms of the goals that they've conceded, also the goal attempts they've conceded is halved from 16 to 7. And the shots on target is over half from 7 down to 3. So defensively, West Brom looking a lot better, coming at a time where Fulham just haven't been at it going forward. Obviously scored that last minute goal against Crystal Palace in game week 6, which annoyed so many FPL managers holding Palace defenders. But that was really the only shot that they had. Mitrovic had 5 goal attempts, none of which were on target during game week 6. So I think if you own a West Brom defender, or if you're looking for a cheap defender to get on board with for this game week, West Brom could be a really nice option.
All right, and possibly not just for this game week. After Fulham, they've got Spurs at home, Man United away, which is not great. But then Sheffield United, Palace and Newcastle. Which baggies should we be bagging?
Okay, so in terms of defensively, I think Ivanovic looks like a really, really nice option. Arrived at the club and has made a world of difference, as I mentioned, to that defensive line. So if you want to go with a West Brom defender, he looks like a really nice option. If you're looking for an attacking option, and we've seen that Fulham have been far less than solid at the back, then Pereira looks like a really nice pick in midfield. He was really popular early doors and hasn't kind of set the world on fire, but still a really nice differential pick. And at a time where West Brom seemed to be tightening up and getting used to the Premier League, and obviously playing against a side that they were used to playing in the Championship last season, he could be a nice pick. As could Grant, who arrived at the club for game week 5 and then got his first goal in game week 6. So he could be a really nice option as a differential forward.
Daniel, are you convinced? How many West Brom players will you be bringing in your wildcard?
I had Pereira at the start of the season and he's no longer there. So probably less than one, if I'm honest.
Okay.
But then that depends on how much I need to, you know, those, as Sam mentions, those differential pick defenders at cheap prices are gold dust. So potentially one of those.
Fascinating, Sam. Very much out of left field, that. Dan, what will you be tipping up or focusing on fixture-wise?
I'm looking at Leeds-Leicester. Leeds are, they feel like an FPL dream in terms of attacking points. They create the second most chances in the league and they allow the second most shots in the league. This kind of chaotic football in which, you know, we saw against Manchester City, they're almost like basketball football where teams take turns to have a go at each other. And it's those midfield differential picks that I'm interested in. Mateus Klich and Helder Costa, who have 62 points between them already. I think they're really interesting. And then obviously it's the battle between Bamford and Vardy in terms of goal scoring. And Leicester just... I know Vardy is still scoring, but I can't really trust Leicester at the moment. They're doing pretty well, but James Maddison's not really producing. Ayoze Perez is not really producing. I think Harvey Barnes is their top scoring midfielder. So outside of Vardy and the obvious James Justin, the cheap Leicester option defender, I'm interested in those Leeds attacking midfielders.
All right. What about Bamford, who picked up 17 points last week? Well done to the 304 prophetic managers who triple captained him. Would you leap to get him in, as some of us have?
Well, yeah, I mean, the price is obviously incredibly attractive. He's still down at 5.9 million, which is, for a player with 49 FPL points, I'm surprised that price hasn't shot up further than it has.
Right.
So yes, I think if you're going to get him in, you might have to do it quickly. But I do always fear slightly jumping in after the horse has bolted. And I do wonder if that Villa hat trick was that.
Do you think?
Sorry, James. I know you've brought
no,
him in.
I have. Yeah, but I mean, as soon as I did it, I went. But just it's not the first goals that he scored. They do have difficult fixtures. They've got Leicester, Palace away, Arsenal at home, Everton and Chelsea away, and then West Ham, who are no pushovers themselves. Yeah. So you kind of, if you're getting him in, I guess you think he's fixture proof.
Yeah, well, and to an extent, Leeds have been fixture-proof. You know, they scored three times against Liverpool. They only scored once against Manchester City, but that was a good game. They conceded three times against Fulham. So for better and for worse, they do feel like they almost produce similar results against smaller and greater opposition. So I think they are slightly fixture-proof. Whether Bamford is another question, I suppose.
To make you feel a little bit better about Bamford, he does sit fourth for XG across all the players in the game right now. So in terms of his expected goals, he's sitting behind Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Mane and Kane. And then it's Bamford.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like it's going to drop off a cliff. The stats still back him up.
Well, it wasn't a fluky hat-trick either. His finishing was so superb. It's clearly a brilliant choice by me. Jules, what are you focusing on this week?
So I think Liverpool-West Ham is a good game because, as we saw with West Ham, they... so far this season have been really good against the big side. If you remember, it's a long time ago before the pandemic, but they only lost 3-2 in Liverpool at Anfield the last time they went there, they visited there. With all the issues that Liverpool have at the back, with Fabinho, the latest one, being injured in the Champions League on Tuesday night, it would be a makeshift defence, certainly a makeshift pair of centre-backs for Liverpool. So you could expect Michael Antonio, who is in such good form, to maybe have a good game. You know, West Ham would play five at the back. Would that frustrate the Liverpool front three? We saw Mo Salah hobbling off a little bit after the game against Midtjylland. They obviously, neither of the front three started. Diogo Jota now playing in a midfield position almost. You could see him playing again in that position against West Ham because they won't have much space to run into. So I think Jota could be very interesting if you look for someone like him in your team. I think Antonio, again, could be very interesting. So I think there's a lot in that game to look into.
Okay. Both Antonio and Salah had slight injury worries about them. Antonio came off in the game against Spurs last weekend, and Salah, as you mentioned, walking down the tunnel a little bit gingerly after the victory over Midtjylland. Neither of them is currently flagged up as being an injury concern on the Premier League's fantasy website. However, it's very much worth keeping an eye on press conferences and news over the days between now and Friday at 6:30. Even if Salah's fit, there is some talk that you're better off with Sadio Mane. You're wildcarding, Daniel. This might be something you're pondering. Mane, who's 0.4 cheaper, has got 37 points to Salah's 17 in their last four game weeks. Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, if I go for one of them, it will be Sadio Mane, and I certainly won't be doubling up because it just takes up too much of the budget. But I am actually slightly tempted, given Liverpool's injuries, defensive injuries at the moment. I do wonder if they might be a little bit less expansive and be happy to kind of grind out a few wins. So I am actually tempted to completely leave Liverpool in a wildcard team and pick no players.
I thought the notion was that they'd be attacking more because they can't defend anymore because they haven't got any defenders.
Well, I think it depends how Reece Williams plays as a replacement, but he is incredibly inexperienced. Until Joel Matip's back, they're going to have to close the door a little bit because I can't see Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andrew Robertson pushing as further forward when they don't have the recovery pace of Virgil van Dijk in behind to clean things up. So I just think it's a sort of watch this space with Liverpool. It's not an ideal week Liverpool-wise for me to wildcard, I think.
I see what you're saying. Just on the subject of Mane, though, if this helps, he's only in 9.4% of squads compared to almost 50% for Mo Salah. So can you imagine the green ticks you would get if he outperforms Mo? And also, he's got a great record against West Ham. 4 goals in his last 3 meetings with them at Anfield, which is where they're playing this time. Woof. All right. While you're pondering that, Man United Arsenal, as you say, Sam, it's a big game. And yet, I feel that in fancy terms, it's probably one of the fixtures that excites us the least.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because this should be a massive Premier League game, but also a massive FPL game. And I feel like it's become a bit of a non-event from an FPL point of view. It's very, very hard to pick somebody from Manchester United right now. I own Bruno Fernandes, and I'm sort of happy to own him. Sort of. I think there is a lot of kind of... He doesn't always inspire you. It's sometimes a penalty. And yet then we have other games like in game week 5 where he just takes the roof off the place and can be fantastic. From an Arsenal point of view, similar. The defence has seemed a lot more solid recently. But Aubameyang is just so off the boil right now. And I think, you know, he did play him on the right in game week 6 as opposed to on the left where he normally plays. But he only touched the ball once in the Leicester penalty box for the entire game across from Kieran Tierney, and it was an off-target header. That's 4 blanks in a row. The first time he's blanked 4 times in a row in his whole Premier League career. So, I don't know. It feels like one of those games where I might just stay out of it and enjoy it as a Premier League spectacle.
The thing about Bruno Fernandes, I was at the game on Saturday, the Chelsea game, and when Pogba came on after an hour and Cavani, he moved on to the right-hand side. And then even after that, when Greenwood came on, he played deeper. And I think the further Bruno Fernandes is from the box, the worse it is for you as an FPL manager because he's not going to have enough influence on the game and enough impact on the game to bring you points with a goal or an assist. And I don't know if Pogba will start against Arsenal on Sunday or not, but I'll be a bit worried about Bruno's position, really, if you own him in your team.
Yeah, I mean, I must say I'm not entirely thrilled to own Bruno Fernandes right now. He's probably going to get another week because this sort of massive game, anything can happen. But after that, I think there are so many good options doing good things in the midfield, none less than the Chelsea players who I'm expecting to go on a good run now their fixtures have changed.
All right.
So he could easily leave.
It could be worse, though. You could have, like me, Aubameyang in your team and not really knowing what to do with him because his family, I sell him and he will score a hat trick and then he will start to go on those runs where he scores all the time. It's really annoying.
Well, if he's family, sell him so that he gets the hat trick and then... You know, it's for his own good, yeah. Jules.
True.
Anyway.
I might do that.
All right. Well, you mentioned Chelsea and their fixtures. How about we take a slightly longer-term approach to our picks next as we check out the long view? Every week, listener, we like to get the Premier League's fixture difficulty rating up on our tablets, phones and laptops, possibly all three at the same time, to really have a proper dig into who's got really favourable runs and unfavourable runs in the coming weeks and strategise on the basis of that because we're not just crazy people who make picks in the middle of games and buy in place because they just scored a hat-trick. Not us. I'm excited by Saints who are playing Villa this week and beyond that, they've got Newcastle, then Wolves, Man United, but then also Brighton and Sheffield United in their next 6 and all of a sudden they are looking like a really decent outfit under Ralph Hasenhüttl.
Yeah, they are. And they're also producing, you know, defensive FPL points. Sam mentioned that earlier. But the player I like at Southampton at the moment is James Ward-Prowse, who is pretty cheap option in midfield, but he takes all the set pieces. They have big central defenders who go up for corners. He takes the free kicks as well. And he scored from open play last weekend against Everton, which is a rarity for him. But if he starts getting, you know, into the penalty box or pushing forward, then I think he's a great price.
5.8 is the price for James Ward-Prowse. Theo Walcott's another player I've seen mentioned. Only owned by 0.2%, missed the game against Everton because that's his host, you know, his parent club, but should be available here. He did get 90 minutes against Chelsea previously and got an assist there. Che Adams, who Sam's asked us never to mention again, but he is 5.8 million.
Sam's lover, yeah.
Why have you brought him up?
and Danny Ings, 8.5, but 4 goals and 2 assists in the last 5 game weeks. So Danny Ings continuing to perform. And Alex McCarthy as well. So, Dan, in your wild card, who have you got in from Saints? And who does everybody else think he should have?
Well, I have Alex McCarthy at the moment, and I'll probably keep him there because I think he's a very good option. I don't have a Southampton defender, so it makes sense to keep him. But depending on how the midfield looks, I might bring in Ward-Prowse. But if not, then Ings is the kind of tap-in choice, I think.
Right, nice. Okay, now I promised some Chelsea chat. They are at Burnley this weekend. And this is interesting because Burnley have only scored 1 goal in their last 4 games. Mm. And Chelsea have suddenly started producing clean sheets. Beyond this weekend, they've got Sheffield United at home, then Newcastle away. So all of a sudden, should we be looking at Chelsea defenders?
I think so. I think the Mendy goalkeeper pick has been a triumph at Chelsea. His arrival alongside Chilwell and Silva, they've started 3 games together so far and got 3 clean sheets in all of those games. And as a result of that, they're making picks like Aspilicueta and Zouma better options as well. Mm. So suddenly, having started the season going, no Chelsea defence, because it was keeper errors and defensive mistakes that were costing FPL managers a lot of points last season, now we're at a stage where you've got a wealth of options to pick from Chelsea in the forward lines with Havertz and Pulisic and Werner and the like. And at the back, suddenly there's a wealth of options. And I think the way the Chelsea fixtures are set out, apart from that Spurs game in game week 10, which, let's be honest, Spurs haven't been keeping a lot of clean sheets so far this season, there's plenty of opportunities for defensive returns and attacking returns. And particularly if you go with somebody like Chilwell, who's already got goals and assists so far this season alongside clean sheets. What's not to like about Chelsea right now?
Right, 5.8 million gets you Ben Chilwell at the moment. He's got 27 points in his last 3 games. Defensively, Edward Mendy, 5 million. Thiago Silva, 5.5. These are great options. And are we now saying they're the more reliable end of the Chelsea picks rather than, say, your Pulisics and Timo Werners, etc., at the other end?
I think they will score again, especially against those kind of teams. But certainly defensively, I think you're very secure if you go for them. Let's not forget that for Thiago Silva, he will rarely play 3 games in a week. So let's say he plays in the Champions League in midweek, it's very unlikely that he will play again in the league at the weekend. So if you have him, I think be aware of that. I don't think at his age he can play Saturday, Tuesday or Wednesday in the Champions League, then Saturday again or Sunday again. So, you know, you'd have to keep an eye on that. But I think Zouma is a great shot. 5.1 million, I think, only owned by 5.5% of the managers. And he will potentially could score on set pieces as well because he's so good in the air and he's the one that they look for on corners and wide set pieces. So I think Zouma is a good shot too.
Anything else you want to flag up when you look at your fixture difficulty rating chart?
A mention for Palace, who I think probably have they top that chart. They have the best fixtures of all. It's been a slightly odd start to the season in that they've had the fewest, well, they created the fewest chances of any team in the Premier League. And yet some of their attacking assets have actually returned pretty well in terms of points. You know, Wilfried Zaha, we've mentioned, Michy Batshuayi now starting, and he's only owned by 0.8% of FPL managers. If he gets in a run of form, he is such a confident striker. He's such a player who thrives on service. And with Wilfried Zaha and Andros Townsend and Eberechi Eze behind him, might well get that service at Palace. So although they're a kind of slightly stunted attacking team because of the style of play, they do seem to be able to get returns out of those attacking assets. So with the fixtures they have, I think it's worth looking at.
All right. Nice one. Well, next up, we'll talk about who is the best value player in Fantasy Premier League, which was this week's Twitter question. Yes, we've been asking you, who's the best value player in FPL? What did you say? Well, if your name's Gary, you said Mitchell, because he will stay in the team. And Palace have a great run of fixtures. Dan was just talking about that. Not sure, is he going to stay in the team, though? I thought Mitchell's place was very much in doubt when Van Aanholt rose back into the picture.
Not anymore. It looks like he's the real deal in that. I think he will start. And deservedly so. He played so well, there would be no reason for Roy Hodgson to drop him on the bench.
Okay. Samyak says, has to be Danny Ings. Whenever he gets on the ball, it feels like something is about to happen. He looks dangerous. 4 returns in 6 already. No argument there. 10 points this last weekend. Ray says has to be Bamford. He has more points than Calvert-Lewin this season, funnily enough. Bamford, who got 17 this time around. Adam says Edouard Mendy, surely. Mendy with clean sheets now and available at 5 million. Dave says, I think at the moment Kilman is a steal at his price if you're looking for a bench defender, which is an interesting take on Max Kilman. We'll come back to him in a second. But finally, one from Jay who says Son. Getting the sort of consistency expected from the more expensive midfield options such as Salah or De Bruyne. Well, your thoughts, please. Jules, let's begin with you because Max Kilman is a subject close to your heart.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think he's playing really well, of course, and I think he has cemented his place in that starting 11. The only issue I have with Wolves is that they have a hell of a fixture list coming up with Leicester, Arsenal, Liverpool and Chelsea in the next 7 games. So he's so cheap at 4.2 million that you could take him. I think of all the starters in the the ones that you know will start, he's by far the cheapest. So you take him and then maybe play him and bench him, play him, bench him, depending on who they face because they have tough games. But I think it's a very clever asset to have. If I was wildcarding, for example, I would take him.
All right, but more than just a bench defender, it does look like he's going to hang on to that starting spot. Okay, Dan, who are you going for with your wild card there?
I've got 2 picks, both midfielders. The first is Ferran Torres, who has not really hit the ground running yet in the Premier League, but started as a false 9 against Marseille for Manchester City on Tuesday night and scored. He's owned by 0.8% of people, so he's a huge differential pick. But if he's going to play that false 9 role again, then we know that FPL Gold is players who play in a position in which they can get added points. So he gets the extra point
for being a midfielder.
The goal. Yeah, exactly, and doesn't have to worry about the clean sheet points that Manchester City are, in their terms of their goal conceding record at the moment. And the other is Jorginho, because I just think at 5.3 million, 35 points already, confirmed as the penalty taker, I think that's a steal.
That is interesting. On the subject of Torres, meanwhile, 6.9 million is the price, which is obviously cheap. Slightly more than Phil Foden, who might be the kind of equivalent pick for Man City and has been doing really, really well. The fact that Torres started midweek in the Champions League, does that mean that Pep won't have him in the game at Sheffield United this weekend?
Well, I covered the game and actually it felt like a new mood to City. It felt like the ball was being interchanged quicker in midfield, far quicker than against West Ham, where it was really stodgy in that midfield. And I think, Bernardo Silva and Riyad Mahrez have dropped off so much recently that I think Torres and Foden will or should be guaranteed starters nearly every game because they seem to bring this new energy that City look like they need.
Interesting. All right, Sam, what about you? Who do you think is the best value player in FPL?
I mean, I must say it's hard to disagree with that Son pick from the tweets. He is the leading Premier League goal scorer. I know he's expensive, so not exactly a cheap option, but he's doing the business when other really premium assets, like, sorry to mention it, Jules, but Aubameyang isn't doing what he should be doing at that price tag. So it's hard to overlook him. But I also really quite like the look of Lookman at Fulham. I think, has arrived in game week 4, got a goal and the 3 bonus points in game week 5. The fixtures are a bit hit and miss between now and Christmas, but there are definitely opportunities to play him. And at 5 million, only owned by 0.4% of the game. So huge differential. Fulham really need to find something in their game if they're going to stay in the league. And I think with players like Lookman, he does add that element of creativity that they really have been lacking. So if he can go on a little run, he could be a really nice pick as an FPL asset, offer you some really nice options in terms of freeing up cash in that midfield to spend elsewhere on the big assets that everybody wants to own.
All right. Are you sponsored by Fulham this week?
I feel like I might be.
Sam has persuaded me on Lookman there, really? So I know where to deliver my angry
that's
mails.
Cool. That's a big call.
Seriously?
Just the price point, 5 million is so cheap for a midfielder, yeah. isn't it?
Well, that's fair. On the subject, though, of value players, just that there are so many now high-performing forwards, Bamford at 5.9, Miguel Antonio at 6.3, Callum Wilson 6.5, and Neil Mopé at Brighton at 6.6, is it actually worth just loading up on those guys up front, having three of those, and just eschewing the high-priced forwards altogether? What are you thinking, Daniel, with your wildcard? What are the rest of you thinking?
That's actually, that was my plan at the start of the season. The problem is that I chose Aubameyang, Sterling and Salah as my premium picks in midfield, and they haven't really come off. So I'm loath to do the same plan with the wildcard.
Right. Jules?
I think you could mix it up and go with one big name up front, let's say Harry Kane, because he's been, you know, such in great form. I think he's the one that gives you the most return at the stage of the season anyway. And then be clever in who the other two are. And I think in the name that we mentioned, certainly a Patrick Bamford, even Danny Ings, I think he's still okay in the price that he's at. And you know he's going to get you points. So maybe mix it up a bit instead of going either all big names or all maybe cheaper players.
Okay. After this, we'll look at what moves you're looking to make before that Friday 6:30 deadline and also who gets to wear the captain's armband. Dan, let's start with you. You're on a wild card. What definite players have you got in for it so far?
Yeah, I've got five or six definites, which is Kane and Son, definitely. Ferran Torres, definitely. Trent Alexander-Arnold will probably stay. And then obviously Ademola Lookman, just because I've been guaranteed that that'll work out.
Guaranteed. It's guaranteed.
What about West Brom players?
Yeah, the West Brom defenders. Where are they?
Where are they?
Okay, Jules, I'll put Max Kilman in for you as well.
Oh, yeah, great move. That's your best move.
Fantastic. And the baggies, what about them, Dan?
If I was going to pick one, it would be Callum Robinson as a cheap striker. I think he's still 5.5 million.
Crikey.
So,
FPL content you're just not going to hear anywhere else. I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing.
Worse.
Jules, what are you doing this week? Then have you transferred? Are you going to?
It's all about Aubameyang. I've got one free transfer. It's all about Aubameyang and what to do. And
oh, it's a divorce coming.
I know. It's a tricky one. But if I let him go,
yes,
and that will break his heart for sure. You know, I know it will break his heart. maybe Wilfried Zaha coming in, and also I'll save a lot of money because let's not forget that Aubameyang didn't give you any points so far this season, and he still cost 11.7 million, which is crazy. So
if you love somebody,
it makes sense.
Let them go.
It makes a lot of sense. But then I'm going to change my mind and keep him, and he's going to be not scoring again this weekend, and I'll be cross again.
Well, thanks for that, Jules. I'm not entirely sure what the answer was you gave.
No, me neither, to be fair, James.
All right,
thanks for asking a question.
Good luck resolving that one. And Sam, what are you going to do?
I don't really know how to follow Jules there. I think I've got two free transfers going into this week, but looking at my team, I'm not convinced I need both of them. Ooh. It might be a transfer for the future that I end up doing. Just to continue with my out there picks that I'm going with at the moment, I really fancy bringing in Koufal from West Ham. Joined the team, started immediately. He has got two assists so far, back-to-back games, against difficult opposition as well. Obviously got the first one against Spurs. So for me, I think he might be a nice option. And at 4.5 million, he's a nice way into the West Ham fixtures, which turn massively for the better after this Liverpool game from game week 8 throughout through Christmas. He could be a set and forget cheap option at defence. So I'm probably going to bring him in. I just need to make a decision about where we're going. I might even lose Lamptey this week. He just hasn't been the attacking defensive option that I thought he was going to be. And Brighton haven't looked solid defensively. So I'll probably lose Lamptey for Koufal and bench him this week against Liverpool.
Daniel, I think you were writing down Koufal's name there, weren't you, when Sam...
Yeah. Sam is going to get a string of angry letters from just outside Loughborough.
Brilliant. All right, well, who's going to get to wear the armband? Jules, we know that's Aubameyang for you.
Of course, yeah. Well, 4 points. Should bring you four instead of two, you know, I'll take that.
But seriously, who are you going to captain, Jules?
Kane has been my captain for weeks now, and I'm just wondering if maybe it's time for Son to have a go at the armband and see how that does.
Okay. Sam, what about you?
No, I'm sticking with my main man. It'll be on Kane this week, although I do think Son's a good pick. I just think against Brighton and the way that they play, Kane's a really nice option.
Okay.
I really thought you were going to say Branislav Ivanovic or Abramovic. Seeing that you sold us to us like Beckenbauer, I really expected you to say Ivanovic as captain. Of course, you know, he's going to score, give you a clean sheet, make a few saves, everything.
I think he will. And if he does, Jules, I'll be first to tweet you.
Please do.
Dan?
A choice between those two, I think, Kane and Son. I'll probably lean towards Son, I think.
Wow, nobody has said Mo Salah yet, or Sadio Mane for that matter. I'm really into this theory of leaving it with Salah for the entire season because it'll just average out to so many points. But I think particularly this weekend, I know they've got problems, Liverpool, and I know that we need to keep across any potential hint of an injury for the Egyptian. However, taking on a West Ham side that for all their various assets at the back did concede three last weekend, I feel like Mo Salah... And he was so close. I know he didn't return last weekend, but he was so close. This could be his week. Anyway, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever you do, listener, 6:30 Friday is the deadline, of course. In the meantime, if you like more FPL content like the FPL show, head over to PremierLeague.com, where there's also loads of great articles and tips from The Scout. We will be back next week. Remember, with that new time of Wednesday afternoons. Best of luck to Dan, Jules, Sam and you, listener, with your game week 7. Fingers crossed all round, and we'll catch up with you next time.